Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Coach Mack here, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Paul, we mentioned the record at 500 and the slugfest that we expect with the Jags, but the Titans play well here.
And they've played pretty well this season with, excuse the cliche, their backs against the wall. And certainly their backs are against the wall for the remainder of this season.
So. All but one game they played well here, right? Well, I guess you could say the Jets game. They didn't play well, but they won.
Right.
Ravens game was a disaster. Other than that, it's been good.
Agree. Once Coach Matt gets his headset going, we'll get rolling with him. It's the Thursday night AFC South showdown tonight. You can stop by the Titans locker room here at Nissan Stadium, gear up for the game, and pick up this week's item of the game. A 47 brand long sleeve t-shirt was $35. Now it's $24.95. Plus, it's that time of year to grab the perfect gift for the Titans fan in your life. We'll see you soon right here at the Titans locker room.
Do you often have this problem with Titans radio with Coach Matt getting
never.
Him on air?
We never have an issue getting him on the
it's
air.
It's amazing. I never hear these stumbles.
Into a microphone.
We're gonna make this happen.
I'll take you back to Toy Field just recently. Kirby, I was having trouble with my pack.
There's that laugh.
And Kirby,
he's back.
Kirby decided back, that the problem wasn't with my pack. He decided it was with the headphones.
No.
So I went to the car, and I got my own headphones, which I hadn't brought in.
Uh-huh.
And I plugged my headphones
which
in,
worked.
And of course, nothing changed. Yeah. Now, there's nothing wrong. My headphones are perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. And Kirby decided they were my headphones.
Your headphones.
Yeah,
not
he had
station.
To get my headphones.
Both headphones were working, right. Is what we found out.
No, but there was nothing wrong with my headphones.
It was
Brad Willis, the program director, was here. And of course, going over Kirby's head to Brad Willis found that there were some frequency issues with something that was going on at Toy Field. And of course, he found a solution because he's a problem solver. Kirby, more of a blamer in these situations is what he does.
Coach, you can appreciate this. We had a former engineer here whose response to anything technically that ever went wrong. Now, granted, he is the engineer, okay? Anything that ever went wrong was, and this, I'm not talking about Kirby now, he would always say, it's on their end.
It's on their end.
The mic's not working. Whatever. It's on their end. It's on their end. I'm sure you can appreciate that as a coach because you've probably been around coaches who was always, hey, it's on their end. It's on the defensive back coach's end, not my end.
It's like an athletic trainer. Put some ice on it.
I think when Kirby was hired and he told them he was an engineer, he was in fact an engineer. He was a train engineer. And they didn't, as many people don't do, they didn't check the resume thoroughly enough.
Wait.
And lo and behold, here we are.
Kirby, you know how much I appreciate you. I don't know anything about radio. Nothing.
Neither does Kirby.
No, I know how to talk. But when my headset wouldn't work when I sat down, and I'm looking at this contraption that's got some Band-Aids on it, it looks like something your grandmother put on your finger when you got hurt as a little kid. And you kept tweaking this thing right here, and it's wrapped
the
up.
The antenna.
It's wrapped. This is the antenna.
Yeah.
It's wrapped up in a Band-Aid, and you kept tweaking it to about 1 degree, and it wouldn't work.
Mm. Also, why are you still holding that?
Well,
you
because
now have said, hold this.
I was amazed.
Never work.
I was amazed that at as big a money in operation as this is, we got a Band-Aid on an antenna.
We are too.
Yeah.
Trust us.
Every day.
Wait, Kirby wants to say something.
They don't make that antenna anymore. Those are an older model, and so we have to keep running however we can.
Okay, Kirby.
Which Kirby does a great job of.
Kirby, you do a great
five
job.
5 minutes after we need it.
Kirby, if I'm ever lost in the woods and I need somebody to MacGyver something together, I want you with me. Yeah,
he's your man.
You.
Kirby's the,
he's your man, and we would parachute him in, and I would see that the cord didn't work.
Kirby is the revenant. He can live on it.
He is the revenant.
Kirby also once killed a bear with his bare hands.
He could kill it with this antenna.
Mac, how did Jacksonville shut out Andrew Luck for the first time in his career?
Completely. They completely shut him out. First of all, the defensive front, you know, this is not a real complicated defense. I mean, they basically put their cleats in the ground, four people down, and, you know, let those corners cover back there, but they really brought it. Calais Campbell was amazing. He was a game wrecker. this last game. But the cornerbacks were so in phase all game long with the receivers from Indianapolis. I mean, they were sticky. They were all over them. And I mean, there was no free access throws. And when you're getting that kind of pressure, you know, the kind of foot athletes they have at linebacker, you know, with Jack back there and with Melvin Smith, those guys were closing windows so fast. It was the most complete first quarter to fourth quarter I've seen this defense play in a long time. Now, this is a star-studded defense. It really is. I mean, this defense could carry a team. I mean, this is a type of defense that you really don't have to score more than 20 points a game to be able to win. Clearly, they just scored, you know, 6-1. But their performance, Jonathan, from, you know, a lot of times, and especially if you've got a team that's struggling, that's not living up to expectations, and you can have ebbs and flows of emotions, you know, during a season like that. But this defense from first to fourth quarter, I went back and watched it twice. I usually go about five deep to watch, you know, the teams we're getting ready to play to see what, you know, what trends they're working, what they're doing. It wasn't even close as to how hard they were playing against Indianapolis. I mean, it was impressive, and we know what we've just seen Indy recently. That's a good offensive line. And Calais Campbell over Quentin Nelson in that ball game, dominant.
What do you think motivated them to play that like that?
I know they're good. They're good.
They were good the week before, too.
I have no idea about their motivation. I don't know what their motivation is. I just know those were talented athletes that were playing up to their talent and their money.
And they play angry against the Titans normally.
They normally do. I mean, this is normally ever since I've been here, the 8 years I was coaching here, this was always kind of a real game, you know, that both teams, you know, don't care for each other. It goes clear back, with Jeff Fisher and with Tom Coughlin when he was coaching there. And you know, all the whole thing, the three games, home field advantage, all that stuff. But this football team, they've changed quarterbacks, and the quarterback's not the engine that drives this football team. It's the running game and the defense, and that's what they're going to bring in here tonight.
Let's talk about the quarterback position. Cody Kessler now in for Blake Bortles. Is there a way where Cody Kessler may be a better option, not in his ceiling of what he could be in this game as opposed to Blake Bortles, but the fact that he's not going to lose the game for you? And is that the reason the Jags ultimately want to go in that direction?
Here's the reason the Jags went in that – Here's the reason they went with him, because they've lost faith in Blake Bortles. The football team has. They don't have any confidence in him. I mean, you can tell. And sometimes if your football team doesn't have confidence in your quarterback, it really doesn't matter what type of ability he has. You know, that trait that he has to have to make everybody believe once he's on the field or once he's in the huddle that no matter what's going on, he gives them a chance to win. They've lost faith in him for doing that because, you know, they last year, you know, five minutes away from the Super Bowl, then all of a sudden give him the big contract, and then this year completely fall flat on his face. There hasn't been much else changed except his performance. And his performance was always something that everybody thought held them back. Well, I don't think it was so much performance now this year. He's lost confidence, and they've lost confidence in him. So Cody Kessler is a guy at least they have confidence in because he hasn't let them down. He hasn't let them down like Bortles has. And so that's where I see that, Chad.
They underestimate letting receivers move. Robinson obviously went to Chicago. Hearns went to Dallas. What they have left, or what they brought in, Moncrief, Cole was an up-and-comer, but they're not as threatening as they were outside to kind of supplement Fournette.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, this runs through Fournette. You know, this runs through Fournette and be able to do some play action, but they're counting on their running game, Paul, being able to keep them with the chains. If they can stay with the chains, and if their defense plays like they played against Indianapolis and limits possessions, and not only limits possessions, I mean, Indy was forced to go for it on fourth down three times. That's how much they were struggling against this defense, and they didn't convert any of them. But you've got a defense that you can play to like that. I've coached on defenses like that before, where you just knew when you took the field, they were going to do something, either flip field position, either get a turnover or give you a three and out and give you a possession back quickly. They don't really need that much. I mean, as much as, you know, everybody wants to say the National Football League is going to the trend of the Chiefs and the Rams and the supersonic offenses, which it is some, but you can still win ball games doing it the other way if your defense can play like that first through fourth quarters. They did it last week.
The change at halftime up front on the O-line. Levin at center, Ben Jones moves to guard, Quentin Spain to the bench. Now a short week. In a normal setting, all things being equal, Do you just stick with what you finished with if you won the football game? Or to go back to what you started with in the previous game and see if things change there?
Fair question, Jonathan. And the whole answer to that is why you made the change. You know, that is, you know, whatever the underlying reasons were that you made the change. You know, if you made the change because you thought something was going on in particular in that ball game that you thought you could get it fixed or that you thought you could address after the game was over, or if you made the change because of a body of work. And you guys know as well, just like what you guys do, it's a production business, you know, for coaches and players both. And so we'll see tonight as to whether they start out with that group that they ended the game with, or if they start out with a group they started the game with.
What was your feel for why it was?
You know what? And Paul, I'm very honest, and I always will be with this. I wasn't watching the offensive line that close, you know, and looking at it. And then when I went back and looked at the game, I didn't see anything really egregious, okay, that was going on. As far as, you know, you can see when you're watching offensive line play, if you really zero in and start grinding tape on offensive linemen, especially in the cylinder, you can see if it's missed calls, if it's wrong way, if it's not getting to the second level, you know, if it's completely getting dominated. I didn't see that. You know, I didn't see that. So it leads me to believe it must be a body of work, okay, type of thing, you know, that's built up.
But it's interesting because his body of work, to most of us, has been better than Klein's body of work.
Yeah, and again, I haven't studied the, you know, in the off season, I'll break down the offensive line and look and see, but these guys do it every day. That's what they do up there. You know, that's all they do is sit and grind and go as far as to who's doing what with what's going on, what play's been called. And so they know better than that than I do. I'd be, you know, trying to tell you I knew something that I didn't if I said but a change was made.
Well, when you go back and watch that game after the change was made, what did you see from the line? What did you see specifically from Corey Levin in that game when he came in?
It looked a little bit more, It was more smooth. It looked like they were getting, you know, I mean, they did a decent job. I mean, that wasn't a great offensive output, you know, in that ball game. I mean, let's say that. But there wasn't
second half obviously better than the first.
Well, the second half was better than the first because you hit some long passes and you're able to run some play action and get some max protection in there. But as far as, I mean, I didn't see anything really bad, glaringly bad, or anything glaringly overpowering good. You know, I just they were more consistent. I'll say that, Chad. They were more consistent.
Compare the Jets' defensive front to Jacksonville's.
Jacksonville's better. Jacksonville's better because they've got guys that are a little more twitchy. Okay, the Jets had some big thick guys there. I mean, Williams is a. I mean, their front. The money they paid for that front. Now, money doesn't always equate. You know, money. You know, goes to evaluation, and money goes to, you know, to the people that are deciding how much money you're worth. You know, and that's very subjective in this league. You know, just because you're paid a lot of money doesn't mean you're a great player. You know, you have to play and you have to perform. But just across the board, if you were going to line them up right next to each other and say which ones would you want, you'd take Jacksonville's front.
How much do they move them around? Like, for instance, Houston moves around quite a bit.
Houston,
right?
Moves around a lot because
what's Jacksonville do?
I think Houston's finally figuring out that Clowney is really an interior rusher.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll stand him up and move him around. I mean, he does more of what we used to do with Richard Dent a lot when I was with the Bears, you know, the Joker package where you'd stand him up and move him around, let him play right in. But, you know, once you get to down and pass, they put him, you know, anywhere you want and you get your favorable matchups. These people do that some, but it has to be mostly third and pass when they do that, because Calais Campbell can play anywhere across the front. To me, Calais Campbell's one of the best defensive linemen in the National Football League. I mean, he really is. And even at his advanced age, he's a technician, plus he's just a physical beast. I mean, he really is.
He said third and pass. When's the last time it wasn't third and pass for this offense?
No, somebody sent me something. I mean, people send me stuff all the time, and, you know, I read some of it, some of it I don't. But you know, Marcus Mariota's got the best record or the best performance with third and long, mm-hmm, of any quarterback in the league. Well, you'd like not to be in third and long.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, there's good and bad to that. I mean, it's kind of like leading the league in kickoff returns. If you lead the league in kickoff returns, you're getting a lot of kickoffs, and you don't like to have that, too.
His passer rating third and long this season, he has a 127, which is number one in the league above Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, Eli Manning, Jared Goff. So, and then Mac responded and said, yeah, all things being equal, avoid third and long.
Yeah, it's also a spot that doesn't factor in if first downs are coming out of that, right? And so if the Titans are in third and 13 and he's throwing an 8-yard pass, it helps the passer rating Yeah. But it still means you're punting.
Yeah.
And well, that's so that's an important piece of context there that we don't have in just passery.
Yeah, third and long, look, when you're going through and you're putting a playbook together, your third and 10-plus stuff is you try to keep it to a minimum because you don't want to be in that.
What does Jalen Ramsey take himself out of the game sometimes with the yapping and the stuff he does? Or is he playing good football no matter how much he's getting
Paul, he plays good football. I mean, this dude, I know he talks a lot, but, I mean, I'd like to have him because he can cover. And in this league, if you got somebody that's that sticky, and, I mean, he can cover deep, he can cover short, he's got great transition, he's quick twitch, he doesn't guess a lot, he's mostly always in phase. I mean, he's a legitimate cover corner, which you got to have nowadays. And, you know, look, cornerbacks, I mean, that position anyway is open to such scrutiny and it's so wide open out there. I mean, you've got to have a little bit of an edge to you. And look, people are going to say he talks and this and that, and which he does. But if you perform when you're talking, guess what? That's fine with me.
Agree or disagree? Marcus needs to throw more incomplete passes.
Marcus probably needs to get rid of the ball when they're, you know, he needs to get rid of the ball sometimes when nothing is there. You know, sometimes it's okay to go to the next down. It's okay to go to the next down. You don't have to try to get everything at once. You don't have to try to hit the 5-run homer every time you've got the ball in your hand. And that's probably true. Yes.
Why have we seen the increase in production from Jonnu Smith over the last month or so?
I really love what he's done, Jonathan. You know, all of us have talked about the jump that a first and a second year player makes. We saw it in Jayon Brown all through training camp. We could see that. You could see that progression coming. And right now, Jayon is, you asked me about Jonnu, but I'm going to tell you about Jayon first because I got the mic.
It's yours.
Yeah. Jayon has really done a nice job of progressing. Jonnu, I think, was a little bit still, you know, during camp, was still in the shadow of Delaney, okay, which he should have been, all right? And he could have used a little bit more time. Jonnu didn't get all the playing time that Jayon did as far as real live playing time last year, but once he started getting it, and what impresses me about him, and I'm at practice every day, and I see him, I mean, this guy concentrates on his craft. He works on his craft during practice. You know, Arthur Smith, the tight end coach, does a tremendous job with him, but Jonnu applied himself, and he went through some rough times early. I mean, look, you're open to scrutiny as a coach and a player in this league if you don't perform. That's just the way it is. That's a life I've led for 40 years. I mean, and so what? But here's the deal. Once he got a chance, he kept working and working and working, and now you're kind of trying to see the fruits of what he's done. I'm really happy for him. He's an athlete. Now, you take that ball down the railroad tracks like he did at Dallas and outrun those. I mean, you can see the athleticism in him. He just needed confidence. Confidence comes from being successful. He's been successful now. Hopefully, he's on the ascend.
I want to go back to Jalen Ramsey for a second because you said you would love to have him on your team because of the way he plays. Is he a guy that his talent is so unmistakable that it doesn't matter what he says or how he talks or anything like that? Because there were reports coming out that Jacksonville may be done with him at the end of the season. Is he one of those guys that he's just so good, it doesn't matter, and pretty much every team in the league would love to have Jalen Ramsey?
Chad, look, when you talk, I mean...
And I know I'm asking you to speak for every team, which is difficult, but you coach in the league, so you would know.
Yeah, I have. And look, that group I started out with the Bears, you want to line up Otis Wilson and Wilbur Marshall, how much they talked? You want to talk about how much Richard Dent talked? I mean...
You had some characters on that team.
These people would start crying if they knew what Steve McMichael and those guys would say constantly. I mean, so look, you back it up with your play. As long as you're not disruptive to your team and as long as you have the respect of your team, and that's critical. Daily respect in the locker room, if he's working in the meeting room, if he's doing, and then if he's not doing it to the detriment of the football team, look, performance speaks in this league. Performance speaks. He performs.
Do you expect him to be on Corey Davis the entire game?
Probably. Yeah, but A.J. Bowie's not an empty chair. I mean,
no, he's not.
No, the guy can play too. They've probably got one of the best tandems in the league. So they can, either one of them can play.
How does that change your game plan if you're the Titans, or does it?
I'm not the offensive coordinator, and I just know coaching defense in this league for 30-plus years. If you got somebody, if they know you're matching, I used to match Aeneas Williams all the time to a lot of people, and what they would try to do to get away from his cover skill abilities is move people, move them. I'm talking about movement, pre-snap movement, off-the-ball movement, cluster them up, nine-ball stack them, do those types of things, crossing routes, you know, where, you know, try to run some rub routes, because if you're a really good corner and they're rubbing you, I mean, you got to get really good at what we call a tailpipe technique of being able to avoid the picks and get across. So you start moving that guy.
The offense is built for that, right?
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. I mean, that's what it is with condensed splits, and that's everything that we've looked at. I mean, condensed splits and those, but the timing still has to be there. And for any of that thing to work, guys, and Mary Frances, for any of that thing to work, what has to happen is you have to protect the quarterback.
Oh, always good to start well, particularly good to start well against this team because it's offensively limited. So if you're looking at this Jags defense, which on paper is very good and which is coming off a very good performance, where's the crack? How if you're orchestrating the first drive, what's the one thing you need the Titans to try to do in that series?
Attack them inside with a run and then play action off of it, because that's what you've got to do. You've got to be able to get that second level up, and you've got to get them in single high coverage. You know, any time you get a chance, especially the way the rules are today in the National Football League, if you can get people in single high coverage for a long time and then condense your splits, then you can start to get, especially with crossing routes, those TRC things, you can get wide receivers matched up on safeties, just like what happened out there against the Jets. You know, you saw that. And so, but to do that, you've got to be able to run the ball a little bit, especially against this group, because their defense is going to limit possessions because they are really good at what they do.
And what's interesting, that not that we've talked a lot of names, Clay Campbell, Jalen Ramsey, A.J. Boye, the linebacking core with Miles Jack and Telvin Smith, and then Harrison from Alabama, the rookie.
Yeah, and he
had a good game last week in his first start, I believe.
Yes.
Those are the intriguing matchups because the Titans need to win one-on-one matchups against those three.
Now, there's going to be one-on-ones like that you have to win, Jonathan, and you have to win it. You know, out of all your personnel groups, if you're going 12 personnel, which is two tights, two wides, one back, one of those tight ends has to win. Okay, if you're going to go 12 personnel and you're going to remove a back from the cylinder and they go man to man, then that back that's removed from the cylinder is going to have to win because you got to see your matchup because they know the matchup you're going to get on the outside. You know what that's going to be already. That's easy to declare. Now you've got to find out which one of those matchups interiorly you can win.
Paul matches up with Kirby Allen. Kirby coming up.
Oh, yes, hey, he does. No,
scary.
Wait. That's the best matchup in the National Football League right there. I can't wait for that. That's the only reason I'm here.
Only way to win is not to play.
Back only shows up for the truth according to Kirby.
This is the only reason I'm here. When y'all told me it's truth according to Kirby, I was all over it.
It's like Aeneas Williams versus Jerry Rice coming back next.
That's right.
The conversation goes like this. Hey, Mac, you're on tomorrow. You can join us in studio, but if you come out, we'll do truth according to Kirby. I'm there.